Father, I thank you that you have it together. And I thank you right now that the words you've put in my heart and the message you've intended me to share is for this season. It is for such a time as now. And so I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your grace and for your power. And I thank you for my wonderful friends that will listen to this and be blessed by it in Jesus' name. So what I want to talk to you about is about the new covenant. And these words have just been burning inside of me. And I was reflecting over and over on what Jesus spoke at the Last Supper. So I will read that to you from 1 Corinthians, starting in chapter 11 and verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you profess the Lord's death till he comes." Amen. And so I kept reflecting specifically on his words, "Do this in remembrance of me." And he said these words two times, once after sharing the bread and a second time after offering the cup of wine. And these words may have become so familiar, their actual meaning and purpose have become obscure or lost. And yet Jesus' words are spoken then to the disciples, but to us today. And I don't believe what he says here is a suggestion. You know, if you get around to it, do this in remembrance of me. When I read that, I believe those words are an imperative directive, and he intended for us to act upon them. So, as I've been thinking, it was specifically like, what was Jesus referring to? Like, what is the this and do this? And I started to recall different interpretations of that particular scripture and all the various reenactments that have taken place over the years. And suddenly I found myself at the cross. And so from here on out, I want to describe like a vision, a whole interactive thing I had with the Lord at the cross. And I'm thinking, hello, duh, of course I would be at the cross. Jesus said that the bread was his body and the cup was his blood. And so he's actually giving his disciples a heads up on his soon coming death. And so my first thought is, okay, so is he telling us as freely as he chose to give up his life that we're to do the same? Or did he merely intend for us, hey, get together, break bread, drink wine or juice, and remember the horrific price that I paid for you guys, the death on the cross? Is that what he wanted us to do? And that makes it sound so light. And I think it's important that we don't forget that when Jesus was in the garden and his disciples were sleeping and he's praying, Jesus asked his Father three times if this cup could pass from him. It's like checking in. Hello, is there an update on this plan of salvation? Is there another way? And each time it was like, if not, and there wasn't another way. And so Jesus, in tremendous obedience to his Father, he submits his will and he says, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And so Jesus submitted his will to the Father and allowed himself to be crucified. He allowed himself to be crucified. He offered himself up. And in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 2, it says that Jesus, who for the joy that set before him, endured the cross. Every time I read that, I take a breath. It's like, joy? Are you kidding? Anybody who has even like, okay, seen the Passion movie would hardly describe Jesus' crucifixion as a joyful event. I mean, come on. What joy could there be in his forsaking all of his glory for the darkness of such a cruel death? And this is one of those mysteries. And as I kept looking at it, he didn't speak over the bread and wine as being broken, like this will happen in the future. He talked about it like it had already happened. This is my body, broken, past tense, for you. And so Jesus perceived his death on the cross as already done, already completed. And he's already looking through the whole thing to the fruit it will bear for all the salvation. I mean, he's doing this for the whole world and how tremendously it's going to glorify the Father. So now I'm thinking, okay, does doing this mean our willingness to surrender everything like a sacrificial death, understanding that sacrificial death is to ourself, to our identity, to our will, and submit with that same joy to the Father's will for our life? And so I'm thinking that, and I'm asking this of Jesus, but instead of hearing an answer, Jesus looks at me and suddenly he grabs me, yeah, and plunges me deep inside his chest. Wow. I was instantly submerged in a sea of blood. It was like a gushing fountain. I could hear his heart beating. And then it happened. There was an explosion. I heard it. I saw it. I felt it. Jesus' heart broke open. No words can describe the place, the core of God's fiery love that was now exposed, and it was flowing in all directions, like a red river in all directions. And so his heart breaking had nothing to do with the nails or the crown of thorns or suffocating, the lungs collapsing. No, it was the weight of the sins of all humanity, past, present, and to come, and all the evil therein. And it was heartbreaking. But it brought separation also from his Father. And I could experience all of the emotion of that. And I can't explain how overwhelming it was. But then suddenly there's the understanding, I'll say the revelation or the wisdom, that in the forsaken was glorification. And it can blow you away, but one of the definitions in the Greek, forsaken, can also mean glorification. And so in the midst of all this blood, Jesus spoke one word, live! And that word like echoed throughout my entire being, and I understood this was the creative force by which we're born again, born of God. The life, my friends, is in the blood. And as that blood flows and it continues to go out and touch others, our God is glorified. And that's the joy that Jesus was seeing. And he saw as he was poured out, as he was broken and poured out, the fruit that this would bring and the glory it would bring to the Father. But then he looked at me. And I want to look at you, because the challenge is, as our lives are broken and poured out, others will continue to come into the kingdom and bring him glory. And so the challenge is, are we really willing to be broken? Are we willing to give up our identity, our plan, our purpose? And as Jesus joyfully submitted to the Father that sacrificial death, are we willing? Are we really willing to die to ourselves and be poured out for others? And so there's a call here to do what isn't convenient. There's a call here to be very uncomfortable. There's a call to go further than we've ever gone before. And so I leave you with this. Father, I don't think any of us really want to be uncomfortable. And we take joy in doing what's easy and convenient. But I know you're inviting us to go a little farther. And in doing that, I know we draw closer to you. In that fiery place in your heart, the love you have for all humanity fills our heart. And we can't resist reaching out to others. I just I just thank you for empowering us to do this in Jesus' name. So, be motivated, be encouraged, and know that you are loved in Jesus' name. Amen.